Sister Donna asked me before Mass begins, Father, should we use the short form or the long form? One thing I always tell in every parish I go to, when you see in your little missalettes, those little brackets says, you know, exclude or include for shorter form, ignore that. I'm always going to give you the long form because I will never deny you the fullness of the Word of God. So just ignore all those little optional brackets. And when there is a, if there is a specific feast day where a saint is named in the Roman canon, I will always use Eucharistic prayer number one, okay? Because it's such a beautiful prayer, you know. And we and liturgically, we never use Eucharistic prayer number two because it's always the short form. Got to remember, Eucharistic prayer number two was written by Saint Hippolytus, so it's actually one of the older prayers. So anyway. Just a little liturgical side note there. Who do you serve? You know, for those of us in religious life, consecrated religious or ordained ministry, the answer is clear. We serve the Lord. The interesting thing I've noted in my ministry in the hospital is that it's easy to spot the Muslim woman or the Jewish man, or the Amish family, the religious men and women who serve. And just as a side note, the funniest thing I ever saw was this Amish woman on a cell phone picking up a pizza in the in the driveway. I said, wait a minute. So I guess there are the Orthodox Amish, and then there are the more Reformed Amish. I don't know. But that just kind of scratched my head when I saw that. But it's wonderful to see people outwardly expressing their faith and whom they serve in the manner of their lives. Just by outward appearances, you know that they serve the Lord. And by the way, the Christian, the Jew, the Muslim, you know, we all serve the same God. It's the same God, by the way. What about the rest of everybody else? Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he asked them, who do you serve? And throughout all of Israel's history, many times the people turned their backs on God, yet he remains faithful. He, God, remains faithful forever. Isn't that the story of our current existence? We turn our backs on God. It's called sin. Unless your name is Mary or Jesus, we're all sinners, right? And we are in constant need of his healing power. We come back to the font of mercy at all times. The danger in God's creation are not the sinners who come back in faith. It is those who are trapped in their sins and do not know it. Those who turn their backs on God because they do not know him. I miss parish life. I miss conducting marriage preparation for young people. This is for young couples. This is a great opportunity to form them in the faith so they can be loving examples of God's love for the world. Just this Friday, past Friday, I just administered the anointing of the sick and the apostolic pardon to a young 31-year-old man who died from COVID. The last time he was in church was for his baby's baptism. We serve God, and we serve our families. You cannot do one without the other. God first, and then the family is next. Because in God, we find the example of love. And as our late Holy Father taught St. John Paul II, that the family can be called the domestic church because that's where it begins. It begins at home. Ephesians 5, yet another misunderstood scriptural passage. Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. It is in the sacrament of marriage that the two become one, imaging the love of the Trinity. Now, very, very simplistic explanation of the Trinity. I hope I know. Please forgive me, Father. The Father infinitely loves the Son. The Son infinitely loves the Father. The love between them begets the Holy Spirit. The man loves the woman. The woman loves the man, and the love between them begets children and thus builds the kingdom of God. So there we see in the sacrament of marriage an icon of the Trinity. Wives should be subordinate to their husband. There it is, scriptural oppression. Complete the sentence. As to the Lord. As to the Lord. Your love is complete when you are one with each other. Here's the next part. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Everyone forgets this passage. And how much did Christ love his church? That much. He loved it that much. What wife would not want her husband to die for her, to give his life for her that she might live? That's why the one word description of love is sacrifice. In today's self-centered materialistic world, that concept is unheard of. It's all about me. It's not about him. But you know what? He gives us the perfect example of humanity, and it includes the cross. Because without it, there is no salvation. Who do we serve? We serve the Lord. We love our families as Christ loves his church. We are in the middle of chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Let's go back a few verses, okay? I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. And now today we hear many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, this saying is hard, who can accept it? As a result, many of the disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Nobody wants to hear the truth. And I say this in all the parishes that I preach at and I serve. When you hear the word truth, it's a capital T, his name is Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Nobody wants to endure the pain of sacrifice. Guess what? When we serve God, when we serve our families, that's the price we have to pay. And you know what the reward is? The salvation of our families. The salvation that Christ promised us. And during this earthly existence, he feeds us with his very body and blood. That's what we celebrate here. The true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We eat his flesh, we drink his blood, so that we may have life within us. So that we can follow the example, perfect example of humanity. He loves us that much. Now, we have to love each other in the same way.